Chapter 2. Mom, Derek's being pathetic. Make him stop doing that. Laura called out plaintively to their mother from her seat at the breakfast table as the Hale matriarch entered the kitchen. Derek glowered at his sister, but opted to take another bite of his oatmeal rather than get into it with her. The hard-learned lessons from their childhood together told him that trying to argue with Laura frequently ended badly for him. Whether it was being trapped in a headlock by his twin sister in front of the rest of the extended Hale family, being carried around like a pup by the scruff, also in front of all their older, cooler cousins, or somehow photographing him sucking his thumb in his sleep at age 12, she always managed to come out the victor. Derek decided years ago that it was better to just wait it out and hope she got distracted. Then one day he would find those photos and destroy them. Shouldn't you have grown out of teasing your brother? I was just thinking this morning how wonderful it was to have had my children grow from such foolish cubs into mature and responsible adults. Why must you try to prove me wrong? Their mother said, as she serenely made her way over to the gourmet coffee machine Derek and Laura had gone halves on for Mother's Day last year. Derek tried to hide his smirk with another spoonful of oatmeal. If there was a soul anywhere to go toe-to-toe with Laura, it was his mother. Unfortunately, Laura used what she called her mystic twin powers to look up from her grapefruit to notice Derek's expression and bristled. But he is being pathetic, Mom, Laura said, noticeably less playful than before. I can practically smell it wafting off of him. He needs to find a mate, or he'll just become more of a morose, sad sack. I am not a morose, sad sack, Derek said, unable to resist defending himself any longer. And I don't need to find a mate. Just because I'm not like you, with your weird long-distance scent exchange thing going on, it doesn't mean I'm dying of loneliness. My sweaty t-shirt exchange with Mark until he gets back is brilliant. Not weird. It's the perfect solution until he finishes grad school, and we can get a place together here, Laura rebutted, flicking a spoonful of grapefruit at Derek. Please don't throw acidic produce around the kitchen, Laura. It diminishes the validity of your argument, their mother admonished. So you admit I'm right, Laura said triumphantly while smirking at Derek. Mom, you can't seriously, Derek began to say. While Laura's word choice was lacking, to say the very least, their mother interrupted as she sat across from him at the table, taking a moment to glance reprovingly at a still very self-satisfied Laura. We are all worried about you. Derek looked down into his now empty bowl to avoid what he knew would be nothing but love and concern radiating from his mother's gaze. I don't need a mate. I'm fine on my own. I have a good job and I have my family. And I don't need anything else, he said softly, eyes fixed on a small smear of oat and milk remnant left in the bowl. Honey, most wolves, you know it doesn't go well for them alone, his mother said gently. Well, it can't go much worse for me than when I tried to find someone before, he said, pushing his chair out from the table and gathering up his dishes. He made it to the sink before Laura, evidently, lost her inner battle with decorum and spoke up. So a crazy cradle robber wanted to burn our house down. She didn't. She's in jail until she's a decrepit old hag. So now it's an amusing family anecdote I plan to tell my future children about their goofy Uncle Derek. Laura, don't, Amelia interrupted, glancing anxiously between her two grown children. Just get over it. Nothing happened. No one blames you for anything because nothing happened. There was no more flippancy left in Laura's voice. Derek remained standing at the sink, afraid to look back at the two most important women in his life. No one spoke as he ran the tap to rinse his bowl out, then his mug. "I have to go, or I'll be late for work," he said, turning around, trying not to dwell on the look of worry on his mother's and sister's faces. He walked over and gave them each a kiss on the cheek, all of them relaxing slightly at the contact. He grabbed his coat from the stand and his car keys from the hook on the wall. He slowed his steps slightly and called out over his shoulder as he neared the door. "You know what a stickler Sheriff Stilinski is about punctuality." The thing was, a part of Derek knew they were right. The feeling of emptiness and wrongness within him had been growing stronger and stronger recently. If it wasn't the natural state of a normal human to be alone, that fact was even more true for a wolf. And the longer he remained alone, the more it felt like something had come and cored the very essence out of him. But as much as he yearned to have someone to hold, to scent, to protect, to love, he just couldn't risk making a mistake like he had before. He'd let himself go mad, no regrets, so long as it meant keeping his family safe. But lonely and pathetic, like Laura said or not, he was still a long way away from crazy, and he honestly believed that his job as a deputy with the Beacon Hill Sheriff's Department had some sort of hand in that. There were some days he'd be at work and feel almost whole again. As Derek parked his car in a spot and made his way into the building, he began to feel more at ease. In fact, once he entered the squad room and made his way to his desk, he was feeling the best he had in days, despite this morning's earlier confrontation. He sat down, checked to see if he had any phone messages, and was debating whether it was worth it to start a fight with the coffee maker before he really needed it, when the door to the sheriff's office opened. But it wasn't the sheriff coming out to survey his domain. It was instead, "Derek, my man!" Stas Stilinski called out as he burst from the doorway and jogged over to Derek's desk, almost running into at least two different people and four inanimate objects on the short trip over. He managed to get to Derek's desk unscathed and hopped up to perch on its edge, promptly knocking the phone off its cradle. "That was smooth," Derek commented, replacing the phone while giving Stiles a glance and doing what Laura insisted on calling a wolf check. Just a moment to take stock of all the things a normal human, or a stupidly unobservant werewolf, would miss. Derek was always sure to learn from his mistakes. Stiles was the same as he always was. The right mix of smells that, at this point in their acquaintance, were both very comfortable and familiar to Derek, seeing it was a rare day that Stiles didn't stop by to visit the station at least briefly. The same deodorant and shampoo, the hint of an over-sweetened coffee mingling with some remaining mint from his toothpaste, and the base smell underneath all of those that simply identified him as Stiles. His heart rate seemed a little faster than average for a human, but it always seemed to be like that whenever Derek saw him. He didn't seem to have any adverse health issues from it, so Derek just brushed it off as him being an excitable boy. "Dude, I am smoother than smooth. You're just unable to appreciate my epic and awe-inspiring smoothness." Derek stared at Stiles, while the teen seemed to replay what he'd said in his head. "That actually sounded kind of weird. Not 100% sure if it was dirty or not, but definitely weird." "I'm willing to overlook what you just said if you'll tell me why you're here and not at school right now. I usually don't have you interrupting my work until after lacrosse practice." "Everyone's off because of some sort of teacher's conference. They say it's to learn new teaching techniques, but having heard Coach Finstock and Ms. Liz extolling the virtues of the mud baths at some spa where the convention is located, I doubt their purely academic-related intentions just a bit. Also, it'd be great if Brain Beach was real so I could stop picturing my teachers in a sauna, possibly together," Stiles said with a theatrical grimace. "So don't picture it," Derek said, finally getting around to booting up his computer. "Dude, You know I can't not picture it after you say don't picture it. It's like the don't think of pink rhinos thing. The pink rhinos get me every time, Stiles said dejectedly. Okay, Derek said, unable to keep a hint of laughter out of his voice any longer. But why are you here? Shouldn't you and Scott be out terrifying the hard-working populace of Beacon Hills on your day off? First off, I think you mean enriching the lives of the populace. And as for Scott, he wanted to hang out with Allison. Stiles mumbled the last few words quickly, and became very interested in the hem of his sleeve. Derek could smell the worry mixed with a bit of fear wafting off of him. A lot of people around town gave off a similar scent whenever one of the Argent family was mentioned in his presence. But with Stiles, it was just that little bit different. Derek thought it was because, while the others were afraid of how Derek would react, Stiles was afraid of how it would make Derek feel. At least, that's how it felt to Derek. Stiles, I know Scott's dating Allison Argent. Every deputy here has caught them parking at least once. No sense of discretion. That's my BFF, Stiles interjected ruefully. And I don't blame the Argents. Well, I certainly wouldn't blame Allison for what her aunt tried to do. She was only a kid then, anyway, Derek finished. Yeah, I know. You wouldn't need me to tell you why if you did blame. I understand. I mean, not Allison, but yeah. Stiles trailed off, leaving Derek with the very unusual occurrence of a quiet Stiles. Though he knew that some people in town probably asked for Stiles to be quiet in their nightly prayers, it seemed incredibly unnatural to Derek. Stiles, don't worry about it. And you still didn't answer my question. Why are you here? Doesn't your dad get enough of you at home? There's no such thing as enough of me. Derek quirked an eyebrow. Okay, moving on, because even if there was such a thing as having enough of me, which there is decidedly not, and my dad had in fact had enough, which he didn't, because he couldn't, then that still means that many outside the Stilinski abode had been sadly bereft of my company, and I was bored out of my skull at home. Really? Bereft? Derek asked after Stiles finished his spiel. You know you miss me when I'm gone, Deputy Hale, Stiles said brightly. You do make the day more interesting, Derek admitted, though at Stiles' preening felt the need to add, note that I said interesting, not better. That may be what you said, but I know what you mean, Stiles rallied back. Once again, Derek felt a small smile making its way to the surface. The morning's breakfast seemed very far away. Laura texted him multiple times throughout the first part of his shift. A mix of half-hearted Laura-esque apologies and increasingly creative threats if he didn't reply. Apparently, her dual jobs as dietitian and martial arts yoga instructor at the Beacon Hills Wellness Center still afforded her the flexible schedule to harass family members at her leisure. The final one was a fairly tame threat of carrying him out by the scruff of his neck for lunch. So if nothing else, Derek knew who was picking up the tab for his food today. After he finally managed to temporarily shoo Stiles away so he could get some work done, the teen spent the rest of the morning hanging around the station room, alternating between helping out the dispatcher with some filing, and after he finished with that, trying to engage everyone, primarily Derek, in conversation. Around noon, he ducked back into his father's office and emerged a few minutes later, the sheriff in tow. The sheriff glanced around the mostly empty squad room. In that day was only Derek, the dispatcher, and three of the four deputies who were on days this week. They would swap with the other five for the night shift the week after next. A small town like Beacon Hills didn't warrant much more. Sheriff Stilinski, satisfied that his staff had managed to refrain from letting chaos reign throughout the town, or at least the squad room, went back into his office briefly and then returned to the main room, now wearing his coat. My son and I are going out to lunch. Apparently, it is going to be an awesome bonding experience that will no doubt end with Stiles stealing all my curly fries. So nobody call me unless there's a body. A real body, no Mrs. Klansky complaining about the mice her neighbor's cat likes to leave on her doorstep, all right? The sheriff said to affirmative nods from everyone, and then walked over to the exit. Stiles ambled after his father, but paused when he got to Derek's desk. Hey, Derek, do you want me to bring back something for you? Stiles asked, smiling brightly, We're going to the diner on Blackwell, so they can make practically everything, like gyros or chicken cordon bleu or whatever you want. Styles, I've lived in this town all my life. I'm pretty sure I know what they serve at one of the only two diners in town. And no, I don't want anything. Styles smiled dim slightly, and Derek felt compelled to explain. My sister was threatening to take me out to lunch, and I don't want to disappoint her. With that, Styles blanched. No, no, you're right. A disappointed Laura is an upset Laura is a scary Laura. Please go out to lunch with your sister. You know, I'm a man with a gun. Not that he really needed it, but still. Why is everyone more scared of Laura than of me? Derek asked. You grew up with her, and yet you need to ask that? Not that she's not awesome and a super nice person, just she has a very forceful personality, right? That's the way to phrase it? Styles asked, licking his lips nervously. Derek was momentarily distracted by the motion when Styles continued. And one time I swear I heard her growl at some dude hitting on her. Styles, let's get a move on. Derek was thankfully interrupted by the sheriff coming back inside to fetch his son. Derek was not quite as thankful that Laura was standing in the doorway next to him, a speculative look on her face. Gotta go, see you later, Derek, Styles said with a smile while jogging backwards, narrowly avoiding a collision with Laura. Have fun with your brother at lunch, Laura, and know that I would hope never to disappoint you, Styles called out as he and his father disappeared from view. What was that about? Laura asked, looking thoughtfully over her shoulder at Styles' leave, before walking over to Derek. Apparently, you're the Hale twin that inspires a healthy amount of fear and respect in our community. Well, that's just because I'm me, and you're an awkward puppy dog, Laura said coolly. Didn't you come here to apologize to me? Derek asked. Did I say that? Laura asked toothily. In your own special way, you did, Derek replied. Then I shall do so in my own special way by not saying I was wrong in any way, shape, or form, and instead paying for your lunch. I'll take what I can get, Derek said, rising to his feet. How are you with the place on Chilton? Laura asked, already on the move to the exit. It really wasn't as good as the place on Blackwell, but... That's fine, Derek said as he shrugged his coat on and followed his sister out the door. They had just placed their orders when Laura tried to bring it up again. Okay, Derek, I admit that I may have been a little harsh this morning, but... Derek raised his hand, cutting her off. Laura, don't. Just don't. You know my reasons why, and I'm fine. You stop by my work all the time. You know I wouldn't be able to do my job if I was anywhere as close to losing it as you'd like me to be. Do you honestly think I like the idea of my brother losing his mind, becoming nothing more than an animal, begging to be put down? Laura hissed, her eyes flashing violet. Derek refused to be cowed. I keep telling you I'm fine. Look at me. So maybe I don't have a mate, and maybe it's a little lonely, but I can take care of myself and my family, and I can do my job, and that's all that matters to me. The violet faded from Laura's gaze, and a speculative look took its place. You are very good at your job, aren't you? I mean, some days you come back to the house better than others, but really, the more you're working, the better off you are. The last time you had a week off, you were completely unbearable by the end of it, she mused. Something about her shift in demeanor made Derek apprehensive. You know I love working for the sheriff's department. It gives me something worthwhile to focus on. Why are you suddenly acting like it's some kind of great revelation? No reason, I'm just thinking some things through, is all, she said evenly. Their food arrived, and Derek had never been so glad to see a thoroughly mediocre burger and soggy fries in his life. He was pretty sure that whatever time was in second place also involved Laura. So, Derek, Styles has really grown up, hasn't he? I can't help but think of him as that little kid offering us snacks and giving you a hug. What year is he in, sophomore or junior? Laura asked with an affected guilelessness between bites of her chicken club. Her french fries did not look soggy at all. He's a senior, Derek answered warily. Boy, time sure does fly, doesn't it? Do you know what colleges he's applied to? Derek wasn't sure what was making him more uneasy, Laura's smile or the direction her questions seemed to be taking. Even more confusing was why her asking about Styles would mean anything to him. He's mentioned a few, UC Davis, University of Washington, Ithaca, Brandeis, Rutgers, a few others. There were actually 15 more schools that Styles had mentioned he applied to, but the more he listed, the more lightheaded Derek began to feel. Wow, that's all across the country, isn't it? That smile. Laura thought she knew something. I'm pretty sure he just got on a roll with the applications and applied to anywhere that looked remotely interesting. You know how he gets with projects, he said, his voice sounding far away to his ears. He shook his head as Laura continued on. Not really, but I suppose you would know. But still, he could end up all the way on the East Coast. That'd be a pretty exciting change for him, right? I'm pretty sure he wants to stay closer to his dad. Derek felt like he couldn't get enough air into his lungs. He could feel the bones shift in his hands. No, I bet he'd like the chance to have some real freedom. A cute guy like him is going to be real popular with all the college girls. Or guys, right? Hester at the diner swiveled to look at the twins' booth as a low growl made its way out of Derek's throat unbidden. Laura continued to smile, a little smug, a little sad. Oh, brother mine, you may have a mate waiting for you whether you like it or not. Derek went back to work, but the chance of him getting anything accomplished was shot to hell. He didn't even think he could handle a routine traffic stop at this point. It seemed so wrong, but it made sense. He didn't want it to. He didn't want this at all. But once Laura said it, he knew it was true. Just her talking about the possibility of someone else touching Styles made him want to feel the flesh of the interloper give way beneath his teeth, to teach them not to touch what was his. He wondered what he would have done if Styles had actually dated anyone around town before. Would he have been pushed to realize the truth sooner? Or was he already too far gone that he would have hurt someone? Luckily, Styles didn't date. Sure, he waxed poetic about Lydia Martin. But Derek knew that was all one-sided. He had thought that his frustration with hearing Styles talk about her was just a combination of anger on his friend's behalf, that no one was able to appreciate what a great guy Styles was, and just being sick of having to listen to rapturous descriptions of the girl's looks and brilliance for what seemed like hours on end. Obviously, in retrospect, those assumptions were incorrect. Styles hadn't come back with his father from lunch, apparently opting to get a jump start on some schoolwork. Derek felt that he should be relieved, that he wouldn't be confronted with Styles, having just realized that he was... It was just better that he wasn't there for now. Still, he could smell Styles in the air, the residual scent of Styles permeating the station house due to his frequent visits. It calmed Derek a little, and helped to clear his head from its fog. But it was like having tofu when you wanted steak. It sustained, but didn't satisfy. Having Laura point out everything was, despite the seriousness of the circumstances, somehow still more embarrassing than anything else. She was still worried about him enough to keep her gloating about being right to a minimum, but even a minimal amount of Laura's gloating was plenty. Just going by what she had observed, she was able to break everything down like she had a prepared checklist. Derek honestly wouldn't be surprised if by the time he got home, she would have made a PowerPoint presentation to show their parents. But even if she couldn't keep down her smirk completely, everything she said made sense. Derek didn't like people outside of PAC in his personal space, except for Styles, who seemed to think he had an open invitation to take up permanent residence. In general, Derek tried not to concern himself too much with the feelings of others or what they thought of him, but whenever he somehow manages to upset Styles, he tried to immediately make amends. Derek frequently felt more at peace at work than at home, because even though Pac was there, Styles' assent wasn't. And while Laura obviously couldn't have known this part, Derek had been having dreams that involved him licking a path between moles and someone's face and neck. Someone who he had convinced himself each time he woke up couldn't have been Stiles. Derek was completely lost in his own mind, wondering how he could have missed something so obvious. Something that was, the more he thought about it, so right. He didn't realize Sheriff Stilinski was standing in front of him till the man put his hand on Derek's shoulder. "Derek, you all right, son?" he asked, a look of concern on his face. "I'm all right, I just..." What was Derek again? In love and subconsciously lusting after his boss's teenage son? Realizing that everything he'd been afraid of and denied himself was happening anyway? Feeling foolish? Feeling elated, terrified, finally... "Derek, I think you should go home for the day." "You don't look so hot," the sheriff said, gently. "But I don't get sick," Derek weakly protested, knowing that he should just go. He needed to go home and get his head straight. He needed to talk to his parents. "There's a first time for everything. Go home, get some rest. Let Amelia mother you a little, all right?" "All right," Derek conceded. "I should be fine for tomorrow, though." "Just feel better, okay? You don't do anyone good, least of all yourself, working ill." Not for the first time it occurred to Derek that the sheriff tended to act paternalistic towards him at times. It was understandable, since they had known each other since Derek was a kid. But now, he hoped to look at it as encouraging, like he was already part of the family. Derek really should leave before he tried to hug his employer. Sheriff Stilinski started walking back to his office as Derek gathered up his things to leave, but paused in the doorway. "Oh, and Derek? Don't worry if you're not feeling better by tomorrow. I'll send Stiles over with some soup." He closed the door to his office as Derek tried to remember how to move. He needed to talk to his mother. Now.